Awesome. Kia ora, everyone. Welcome to church today. It's just an amazing day, an awesome day to be in church. And I was just, first of all, want to say thank you to Pastor Shane for the kind words and introduction. We've got a special bond. As Pastor Shane mentioned, he sort of started coming to church when we were pastoring this place, and just saw the incredible transformation in his life and the amazing potential. And for us to see today him leading this church is such a blessing. Knowing that God is working through him and working through your lives. And for those who are involved in the church, those who are helping out in the church, serving in whatever capacity, I just want to honor you today as well. Great worship team, great worship. But the whole team, those who are serving in the cafe and whatever in children's ministry and in other ministries during the week, I just really want to honor you. I love being in church. People kind of exaggerate sometimes, but I can truly say that Sunday mornings is my favorite time to come to church and to hang out with amazing people, connect with people and find out how their week's going and get inspiration from them, to be able to worship the Lord and give him all our praise and glory. Hopefully an inspiring message that's going to keep me going for the following week and give me some food for thought and how I can maybe change things in my life and I can improve or grow on my relationship with the Lord. I just want to say you're in a good place. You're in a good home here. And I encourage you to really get involved as much as you can in your life of the church. Corinne's been serving for quite some time, but I got my Dream Team T-shirt a few weeks ago. So I'm now on the Dream Team out in Botany Campus, and I love it. Some people sort of look at me a bit strangely when they turn up, and I'm greeting at the door, and I was like, "Hey, welcome," and they're like, "But you're a pastor." And I said, "Exactly. What's that got to do with it? I'm here to serve," and I just encourage you, no matter what you are in life, what your status in life is, I encourage you to get involved in the church and just serving God. It's such a joy. It's such a pleasure to be able to give our lives to God in a practical way on a Sunday or during the week. I was preparing a message. I actually had a message prepared a few weeks ago to come and minister today. I was supposed to come a few months ago and things got changed. And so I had my message all prepared, and then Pastor Shane sent me an email saying, "By the way, Tim, we are doing the series Fruit from the Spirit. I'd like you to preach on the fruit of peace." And I was like, "No, but that's not the sermon I've got. I've got a different sermon." Now, it normally takes me about 3 months to figure out a sermon, so because I'm not terribly spiritual. And so I had 2 weeks to sort this out. So if this doesn't go well, it's Pastor Shane's fault. Fortunately, we've got the Holy Spirit here today, and so hopefully you'll help me deliver this, and you'll get something out of it. I'm really excited about this series on the fruit of the Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. He's, when I wake up in the morning, first person I think about. With him, I could not do anything. I could not stand up here and speak without the power and without the strength of the Holy Spirit. I love him. I got full of the Holy Spirit. I was about 12 or 13 years of age. I've been speaking in tongues since then, and I love the Spirit of God. So for me, it's an honor to be able to share on the fruit of the Spirit. And our scripture that we, sort of foundation scripture, this message is Galatians 5, verse 19 to 23. It says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft." All pretty sort of serious stuff. And then it says hatred. Now, I know that we as Christians, we never hate anyone. We love everyone. So we obviously won't fall into that. Then there's discord. We would never create discord between people. We would never post something on Facebook or on Instagram that causes discord. Jealousy. We'd never be jealous of someone. I know we'd never be that. Fits of rage on the motorway when you're in traffic. Christians don't do that stuff. We stay away from that. Selfish ambition. No, we would never be ambitious for ourselves. Dissensions. No, we'd never cause dissension between people. Have factions. Envy. No ways. We would never envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Well, it's interesting. They're all put together under the terminology of things like debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. But fortunately, God has relieved us of those type of behaviors. And it says, because those, it goes on to say, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not experience the kingdom of God in their lives, will not experience the glory of spending time and in the presence of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The first three verses of this portion of Scripture, I believe, describes the actions and of many who are citizens of the kingdom of this world. It's almost a summary of what we read in our newspapers. It's a summary of what we see on social media. Almost every day, those activities are displayed and shown in some form. And then in verse 22, it completely flips the coin and describes the DNA of those who are citizens of the kingdom of God. And I think it's important that we understand that, you know, when we become born again, we are no longer citizens of the kingdoms of this world. We actually renounce our citizenship of the kingdom of this world. No matter what passport you may carry, no matter what rugby team you support, no matter what language you speak or what accent you may have, we are actually no longer a citizen of the kingdom of this world. Colossians 1 verse 13, there's a whole lot of other scriptures, but Colossians 1 verse 13 says, for he, God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. So we are no longer citizens of the kingdom of darkness. We're no longer citizens of the kingdom of this world, but we in fact now become citizens of the kingdom of God. When we are born again, we literally left behind our citizenship of this world and be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And the DNA of the citizens of God's kingdom, I believe, is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what sets us apart. You see that those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, they love others and they love God unconditionally. The citizens of the kingdom of heaven have joy unspeakable and full of glory. They have peace that passes all understanding. They have patience, they're kind. They have goodness about them. They are faithful. They're faithful to their wives or their husbands or their children or their grandparents or to their boss at work. They're faithful to the church. They're faithfulness. They have gentleness. They're gentle. And they have self-control. See, it's these behaviors that actually set us apart. The word being holy means to be set apart. And, you know, sometimes we think that to be holy, it's about how spiritual we are, how much we know about the Bible, how long we've been a Christian, how much, you know, how we speak in tongues or how we're used in the gifts of the Spirit. No, holiness is actually means to be set apart. And I believe that what sets us apart from those in the world is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because that's what people see. That's what people recognize, as these people are different. They have a different spirit in them. They have a different attitude and actions. And this morning, we're just going to spend a short time examining the fruit of peace. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom. And many of us will know what shalom means. It's a greeting. It's used obviously a lot in the in Israel, and it's often used as a greeting, but its wider meaning, shalom has a wider meaning, which includes things like wholeness. And so when the Bible talks about peace, it's talking about wholeness. It's talking about soundness. It's talking about wellness. There's wellness. And there's completeness. It is far more than just a greeting. It's far more than, I'm feeling relaxed. No, it's so much more than that. And the New Testament is a Greek word, which is, I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but it's something like Irene or Irene. And like the word shalom, it's not a passive word. It's not the absence of something undesirable. It's actually the presence of something desirable. It's something to be pursued. It's something to be to experience that we can have. It's a desirable state that we can actually live in. And since the days of Adam, as we all know, the world has been longing for peace. From the time that there was enmity between his sons and the first murder, from that day onwards, there's just been this longing for some peace in the world. And there's, in a sense, this restlessness in the hearts and minds of people in the world. And we know that politicians can't bring peace. We can see that across the world at the moment. Preachers can't impart peace to you. Self-help gurus can't bring us into a state of peace. We can only find true peace when we cultivate it through the power of the Holy Spirit. True peace in our lives will only come through the cultivation of the fruit and of the in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And so how do we cultivate the fruit of peace within ourselves? I'd just like to take a few minutes. If we look at how fruit trees produce their fruit, and I think that there are four ingredients or four conditions that need to exist for a fruit tree to produce good fruit. Because here we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So how do we produce this good fruit in our lives? And the fruit trees, the first thing that they need is they need to be planted in good soil. Psalm 92 verse 12 to 14 says this: "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green." You see, if we want to have to produce good fruit, we need to be planted in the house of the Lord. We need to flourish in the courts of our God. You know, many of you know the story, but the first time that I went to church, I was 3 months old. My parents took me as a three-month-old baby into church, and pretty much I turned 64 next year. I know you won't believe I'm that old, but I turned 64 next year. Don't clap. It's a bit freaky. But the point is, over the last 64-odd years, I pretty much, my wife and I, certainly after got married, but even before that, most Sundays I'd be in church. There are times I missed, but because of circumstances and situations, but for me, being planted in the house of God has been so important. And I really believe that if we plant ourselves in the house of God, wherever God wants you to go, wherever God places you, to be rooted and planted in the house of God. You see, it says there that they will bear fruit in their old age. I tell you, I'm getting into my old age. I'm not there yet. I'm getting into my old age, and I'm bearing more fruit now than I've ever done in my life before. I just sense it. I could feel God's favor and blessing upon our lives. My wife is obviously a lot younger than me, so she hasn't got to old age yet. But God has just pouring out his favor and his blessing on us, and it says they will stay fresh and green. I tell you, I'm so fresh, and I'm so green, man. Now I tell you, I'm excited what God has got for me. The last 4 years since I turned 60, it's been like a catalyst. Someone actually prophesied and he said, "Tim, your years from 60 to 70 will be your most productive, and you will see the most success in what you do." And I've seen it from the day I turned 60, just after COVID, until now. God has just poured one blessing upon another. And I really believe that part of that is because I've stayed faithful to the house of God. I've been planted in the house of God. Secondly, we need to have good shelter. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest and have peace in the shadow of the Almighty." We need to dwell in the shadow, under the shelter of the Most High. Thirdly, we have to have good sunlight. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold nothing from those who do what is right." And the fourth thing is, you need access to water. And we all know Psalm 1 to 3. I'm sure most of you can quote it off by heart. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The law of the Lord is the word of God. And as we meditate on the word of God, as we feed off the word of God, we receive that a supernatural power from God. That in fact, it goes on to say, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Folks, I heard Louis Giglio say this the other day. It was, you know, when we open up the Word of God, the Word of God is breathed. It's God's breath. It says it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lets you breathe on it. And in a sense, when we open the Word of God, we have the breath of God. That's the intimacy of the Word of God, the Scriptures. We literally are breathing into ourselves the breath of God. And that's what will sustain us. That's what will make us strong. And actually, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. You see, I believe we're all created with this void in our lives that can only be filled by the Spirit of God. Every one of us, every person born on this earth, has this void that needs to be filled by the Spirit of God. And for many of us, it was our sin that kept us away from being at peace with God. But when we discovered, and maybe there'll be some here today who will discover for the first time, that God loves us unconditionally. He loves us so much, and the penalty for our sin was paid for when Jesus took our place on the cross. And because of that, we've been set free to experience the peace that comes from God. Peace is broken out between ourselves and God. No longer are we separated. No longer are we at enmity. No longer are we on opposite sides of the spectrum. But peace is broken out, and we can have that relationship with God. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." If you want strength, pray for peace. You see, with peace comes strength. Because when we have peace, we can face challenges. We can face the situations that we come across in life, the things that try and bring us down, the things that try and rob us of what God has for us. Peace brings strength. Strength helps us with our peace. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Peace is a free gift from God. And it's to those who walk in the Spirit of God will receive the supernatural peace that he can give. But as we all know, the reality is that many of us still live with anxiety, with fears, with challenges in our lives, with uncertainty, with a lack of peace. And I think just as a fruit tree can be contaminated, or the fruit from a fruit tree can be contaminated with worms, with fruit flies, or with other insects that can basically contaminate the fruit to make it no longer produced the type of fruit that you would want to produce. So there are things in our lives, there are contaminants that can rob us of our peace, that can prevent us from producing the fruit of peace that God has designed us to do. And I think that there are three big contaminants, and maybe to me, these are the three most important points that if you can remember these three, it will be really helpful. The first one that can contaminate our peace is our worrying about the future. Worrying what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. See, the future can be like a wide open road in front of us with potential pitfalls, potential obstacles, with dangers, sudden detours that we never expected. And, it can be filled with crazy drivers that change lanes without indicating. All sorts of things can happen in our future, and we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with our lives tomorrow. And often this uncertainty of the future can rob us of our peace. And Jesus addresses this in Matthew 6, verse 25 to 27. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" You know, I think what Pastor Shane was actually sharing before about our past and the things that hold us back, is I think some of us don't realize how valuable we are to God. Sorry, this wasn't in my first service notes, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I just sense I need to say that today, is you far more valuable than what you believe you are. You're not defined by the things you've done or the type of person you are. You're defined by how God sees you. You are created wonderfully, supernaturally made. He sees you as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He sees you as someone who's more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are not who you think you are. You who God says you are. And I just want to say that today. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You know, it's so easy for peace to be overcome by things that may happen in the future. The economy is bad, and so, you know, perhaps I'm going to get called into the office next week by my boss, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, we can't employ you any longer. Maybe we've been feeling a bit poorly. We're feeling a bit ill, and we think, oh, maybe it's a major illness. Maybe there's something's happened to my body, and we start to worry about that and be concerned about it. Maybe our children are mixing with people that we don't trust, and we worry they'll end up doing something dumb or taking drugs or drinking too much or having an accident, and we worry about these things that could happen in the future. And Philippians 2 verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard there is actually the Greek for a military guard. So it's almost we need to place a military, a cordon of military guards around us to ensure that anything that the enemy will bring against us, those fruit flies that will try and get into consume our fruit or consume our peace, we need to guard against that. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. He says, we need to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, this is where Satan plays, and the enemy plays in our minds, and it's in our hearts. And it says that if we give everything to God and we believe in what the Word of God says, He will give us peace that passes all understanding and guard our hearts and our minds. And it's in our hearts and our minds where the battle often is. That if we only take the initiative to say, God, just put that guard around me, and I'm not going to receive those negative words. Maybe words have been spoken, maybe people have said things, and we hold on to it and we believe it, and those become the worms that eat away at the fruit that we can produce. And we'll never have true peace. See, in Christ, we have a future and a hope. Yes. We know that the scripture is something that we believe in so strongly at Elam. We do not need to fear anything, but we can experience His peace in everything that we face. The second thing, the second type of contaminant I believe that we can allow into our lives is actually fear for the present. So we fear for what's going to come. But maybe we are facing something right now, today, that is robbing us of our peace, that is stopping us from producing the peace. And in Mark 4, we read the story of Jesus and the disciples crossing the lake, and a great storm comes. And it looks like they've all drowned. And remember, these guys are fishermen. They've been fishing on this lake for many years. They know what it's like. And so this is a storm. This is like a great storm. This is not just a bit of a lumpy sea. This is not just a bit of, inclement weather. These are seasoned fishermen who say, we're going to drown. This is it. We're going to drown. I mean, they're facing a serious situation here. And in Mark 4, verse 38 and 39, it says this, and they awoke him, Jesus, and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Basically, hey guys, we're about to drown. Don't you just look care for us? And then the Bible goes on to say, Jesus, arose. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, I think that we often, preachers sort of dramatize this, and we've seen in movies and of this particular scene, and often it's kind of Jesus sort of shouting at the wind and the waves, you know, screaming at the waves, and then, peace be still. And, I don't know if Jesus did that. You know, Jesus wasn't much of a shouter. As I said, I've been shouting a bit now, so forgive me, but I don't think Jesus was much of a shouter. I think he literally walked down and said, waves, wind, okay, cool it. Just relax. Peace, be still. Do you know, we don't need to shout at our circumstances. We don't need to scream at them. We just need to have a quiet confidence in God. Say, peace, be still. Whatever I'm facing today, we don't have to get all caught up and all emotional about it. Just have that quiet confidence in God. The kind type of confidence that Jesus had when he could stand at this crazy storm that was going to drown them all. Peace. Be still. But you know, I'm sure we can identify with the disciples, because there are times when it feels like we're in a storm, when life is out of control. You know, it seems like we're going to drown. And, you know, this is when we can reach out to the one who calms the storms. We can reach out to the one who brings peace to our heart and mind. See, this would have been, I believe, the peace that Daniel had when he was thrown into the lion's den. I believe it's a peace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had when they stepped into that fiery furnace. It's a peace that David had when he walked out into the field to face Goliath. We've got a couple of some friends of ours we've had for many years and who live out Botany Way. Their names are Christine and Ati DeLange. And they have in those days, then they got a son who's now around about 20. And about two years ago, Ati, the husband, went on a corporate event at a racetrack to ride some motorbikes around the racetrack. And he hit a wall at 200 k's an hour. And he died a couple of hours later. And I was in Australia on a business trip at the time, and I got a call, Tim, will you please do the funeral? I'm like, yeah, okay. These are friends of ours. This is going to be a highly emotional funeral. 51 years of age. His wife, 49, Christine DeLange. And I got back and I expected to find Christine absolute wreck. Yeah, she had an 18-year-old son. They'd been married for 25 years or so. They were planning a European holiday the next year to celebrate Christine's 50th birthday. And her husband, she said goodbye to him in the morning on his corporate event. He was all excited. And a few hours later, he was dead. And Christine, I got back and I'm like, what is going on with you? She was such at peace, such serenity. It was that peace that passes all understanding. And at the funeral, it was a tough funeral. It was probably one of the hardest funerals I've had to do. Because he has a man taken in the prime of his life, someone we knew, we loved. And to see him gone, Christine stood up at her husband's funeral, and she encouraged us. She said, don't mourn for Ati. He's in heaven. He's in the glory of God. He's in the presence of God. And don't mourn for me, because I know that God has a future for me. God has a plan for me. God is not going to allow this to stop me from achieving. This is not going to stop me from achieving the things that God has given to me and laid on my heart. And she had incredible peace, that just truly the peace that passes understanding. And you know, I just saw that. There's someone who has this total faith, and she loves Jesus. She loves God with all her heart. To see what had happened in her life, this incredible event that happened, this terrible event, but yet she had amazing peace. And God has brought another man to her life, and I'm actually going to be performing her marriage ceremony in a few months to the man that's been brought into her life a number of years later, in fact, from a school friend that she happened to meet in London. And so God is restoring those things which the enemy is trying to take away. You see, I just love what, you know, Jesus says. Sorry, before I get there, we can have the same peace in the midst of any storm that we face, in the midst of a lion's den, in the midst of a fiery furnace or a giant or some other loss that we may be facing today. We can have that peace. You see, I love what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. God is saying, my peace, his peace, he's given to us. It's not something we could, you know, I need to be more peaceful. I need to meditate more. I need to whatever. No, no, no. His peace, he's given to us. And, you know, I believe what Jesus is saying here is that he will give us the same capacity for peace that he felt when Satan came to test him in the wilderness. The same capacity for peace that he had when the soldiers came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. The same capacity of peace that he had as he stood before Pilate and remained silent when he was being interrogated. The same peace that he had when he was hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and he was able to express concern for his mom. He was able to ask his father to forgive those who were crucifying him, and he was able to offer the thief alongside him residence in heaven that very day. That could only be done in the time of excruciating pain and agony, experiencing a peace that I don't know about you, but that I need in my life, that I want to produce in my life. See, the peace that Jesus offers us, to us, the peace that Jesus offers to us is that no matter what circumstance we may face in life, we can experience a peace that passes all human understanding, no matter what we are facing. The third thing that I believe will erode our peace, will cause us to have not the full measure of peace that God has designed for us, is when we have conflict with others, conflict with other people. And as a family, we've had a number of situations over the past few years where conflict with people really close to us impacted our peace at home. You know, we as I was saying in the first service, we are quite a boring family. You know, I've got three boys, and generally they behave themselves. We haven't had major problems or troubles or issues with them. We've been very blessed. You know, my wife has behaved herself most of the time. I've kind of behaved most of the time, and you know, life has been relatively calm for us. And about 3 or 4 years ago, it was like all hell broke loose. It was just absolute chaos. And I'm saying, God, what's going on in our lives here? What? Just the enemy just had a field day with us, and it was a really, really tough time. It impacted our peace. We experienced sleepless nights. We shed many tears. It brought a restlessness that stole our peace and joy in our home. And you know, God knows that we go through these times. We go through these times. In Romans 12, verse 18, it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This, you know, this verse to me is just so realistic. I love it. First of all, it says, "If it is possible." The first thing we need to acknowledge that peace with other people is not always possible. Some people don't want to be at peace with us. Something I discovered a number of years ago, which kind of shocked me, was I found out that there were certain people that didn't like me. And I'm like, what? What's there not to like? I mean, I'm so likable. I'm so lovable, in fact. You know, why would anyone not like me? And then I realized that reality is some people don't like me. And I had to get over that. That didn't stop me from liking them, but if they didn't like me, they didn't like me. And it's a bit like that. There's some people that are just not going to live in peace with us. There's been some sort of conflict, there's some sort of issue, something arisen, and they just will not forgive us or they won't resolve it and have chosen not to live in peace with us. The reality is that some people will not like us, and some people may not want to live in peace with us. But then it goes on to say, it tells us what we need to do. And it says that as far as it depends on you. See, if you're not in peace with someone, we need to make sure that's not because of us. It's not because of you. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. God has called us to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers, peacemakers. We should never stop pursuing peace with others, even if they're not willing to be at peace with us. You know, maybe we need to create some space with them. Maybe we need to create some margin. But we should do all we can to restore broken relationships and leave the rest in God's hands. Otherwise, we're never going to be able to truly live at peace in ourselves and experience the peace of God. Finally, it tells us not to make any exceptions. We are called to live at peace with everyone. The word everyone means everyone. People from other nations, people who speak other languages, people who have other skin colors, people who have different political views, people who have different theological views. We need to live at peace with them, not at war with them, not have a Facebook argument or an Instagram argument with someone that we disagree with. No, we are called to live at peace with those that disagree. We do not necessarily have to agree with them, but God loves them. And if we are a child of God, we need to do everything we can to live at peace with those around us. Perhaps the worship team could come up now. And as we come to the closing of this message, you see, God took the first step to make peace with us through his son, Jesus. The sin that separated us from God has been removed, and peace is broken out between us and God. He then gives us his own supernatural peace that is able to sustain us in and through the most difficult circumstances we'll face in life. And then he calls us to live in peace with others. You see, fruit trees do not produce fruit for their own consumption. Fruit trees don't eat their own fruit. They produce fruit to bless others, to nourish others, to make a difference in other people's lives. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit is for. It's not for us necessary. We have to have peace in our lives, but we need to produce that fruit for others and reach out to other people's lives. The great evangelist Billy Graham used to describe the nine fruits of the Spirit in three clusters, each with three of the fruit. And so the first cluster consisted of love, joy, and peace. And these operate almost in this complementary cluster of fruit. And you see, because when we have unconditional love for God and unconditional love for other people, what that will lead to is we'll lead to having true joy in our lives. Because you see, what we sow is what we reap. And as we sow love into others, we will receive love, and that will create joy within us. And when we have joy within our lives, it'll lead us into a life of peace, of true peace, the peace that comes from God. And that's what God is calling us to do, to produce the fruit of peace. And I just want to finish off with one scripture. And as I mentioned also in the first service, I just felt that this scripture could be for some people, maybe just even for one person here today. Maybe you sort of really facing something and say, Tim, yeah, I hear your sermon. I've heard all the scriptures. But I'm really just going through a tough time right now. I just don't see God where I am. Things are pretty dark. Things are pretty bleak. And I wasn't sure whether I should use a scripture. And I was actually on a business trip this week. I was somewhere between Tauranga and Rotorua. And I was sitting with another Christian colleague of mine, business colleague who's a Christian. And he quoted the scripture to me. I'm like, just out of the blue. And I thought, okay, I believe God wants me to share it. And it's a well-known portion of scripture, Matthew 11 verse 28. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." And maybe you're feeling weary today. Maybe you're feeling burdened for some reason. I believe as we come before God today, as we come before the throne of grace, that we will receive peace. We will receive rest. And God will restore us, enable us to go out and be who God wants us to be. You see, Jesus is a good shepherd. He leads us beside quiet waters. He calms our troubled heart. He will give us peace and rest for our soul. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have any troubles, but he did promise we could have peace in him in the midst of any circumstance we may face in our life. Now, I wonder whether there's people here today that you're feeling troubled, that you're feeling not at peace. I just want to pray for you in a minute that God may just give you a fresh revelation of the fact that God has given us his peace no matter what we face. No matter what we're currently facing or what we're concerned about the future or any relationship with others, that there's no peace, that God will give you the strength and the courage to reach out to him and receive that peace. But I also want to pray for another group of people. And maybe you're here today, maybe you're visiting church, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you've come, haven't been to church for a while and you've come back, but you've never really entered into a relationship with God. And I just want to give you the opportunity today. You know that you don't have peace in your heart. You know that you don't have a relationship with God. You know that there's a separation between yourself and God. There's something that is separating you. And it's what we call sin. It separates us from God. But God wants to come and reside within us and live within us and bring peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction and prosperity in life. He wants to bring that into us, bring us into our lives. And you can today choose to open the door to him. Yes. There's the scripture says that Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart. And the picture there is that there's only one handle on that door, and it's on the inside. And I believe that for some people here today, maybe God is knocking on your door. And you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to do some ritual. You don't have to do anything except just open the door. Allow him to come in. And he can transform your life. Give you peace. Give you true joy. And give you the strength and the courage to face all the challenges you face in your life. So I'm just going to pray in a moment, firstly for those who are just struggling with a lack of peace at the moment, and then I'm going to give those who want to invite Jesus into their lives, to invite God into their lives, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a moment. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you're such a good God. You're such a good Father. You're such a good friend. And Lord, I just pray for every person in this place who's experienced anxiety, experiencing stress, experiencing, Lord, fear for either the future or what is happening in their lives right now, or for those, Lord, that are in conflict with others and is causing a lack of peace in their lives. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would just come into that situation. Lord, that you would just, Lord, give us the peace that, Lord, that only you can give. The peace that does pass understanding. Lord, the peace that can transform our lives and give us strength and courage. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you've got good plans for our lives. And so, Father, I just pray for each person that's going through their struggle right now, that you just be very close to them. Lord, come and bring that peace that they need, that they may be able to produce the fruit of peace through their lives. And for those who may be here today, and as I said, you don't have that relationship with God. You've never invited him to come and live within your life and be part of your life. And I'm going to give you that opportunity today. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'd like you to, if that's you, to pray that just quietly in your heart after me as I pray it. And then after that, I'm just going to ask you to pray. I'm going to pray another prayer for you after that. But if that is you today, I just want you to say this prayer. Dear Heavenly God, dear Heavenly Father, I am far from you. I don't have a relationship with you. I don't have peace in my heart. I don't have any joy. I feel that life is just passing me by with no real meaning. But God, today I know and I've found out that I need you in my life to bring me peace, to bring that joy, to bring satisfaction in life, to transform my life. And so God, today I turn away from my former life and I come and step into you. I will open that door to you to allow you into my life, into my circumstance, into my family, into my home. And I just thank you, God, that as I do that, I break the chains of the past. And God, that you're going to come and transform my life. And I just want to give you my life today. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, I'd love to pray another prayer for you. And so I'd like to know who I'm praying for. So I'm just going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer either for the first time or you're coming back to God, and you want God's peace to flood you like we discussed, I'm just going to count to three. And on the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to point you out. Just like to know who I'm praying for. And so if that's you today, I'm going to count to three. I'd just like you to raise your hand just so that I may pray for you. So raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're coming back to God. Anybody today? Yeah, thank you. I see that hand. Awesome. Another hand there. Thank you. You may put it down. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for those three people that have decided to open the door to you today. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you'd come in and transform their lives. Give them peace, give them joy. Lord, remove anything that is separating, Lord, them from you in any way whatsoever, God, that you'd remove that from their lives and that they may have an incredible life with you going forward. Bless them mightily, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless.